Hello and welcome to Weekly Open. My name is Brian, here with Cred and Don. Go to weeklyopen.com, check this episode and more. And then, if you please, go to weeklyopen.com/FTX, where you can trade directly from one asset to the other, track your portfolio. You can even turn on auto buys on a recurring basis nice and easily through the FTX app. Of course, there's no fees when you're using FTX. Thanks to FTX for being our partners for the Weekly Open show. Appreciate them. Track your portfolio, all that good stuff. Do it right there on the Weekly Open app. All right, let's get to the episode. Gentlemen, how you doing?
Yeah, pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Don, what about yourself?
Yeah, also doing very well.
I don't know why I started with the S&P 500 on here.
Because that's all that matters. Also, the advert says there's an auto-buy feature. Is there an auto-sell feature as well for those who want to make it?
DCA in, DCA out.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, get me out of this hell button. Just sells some of your portfolio every week. No, it's been weird. Like, I'm seeing headlines literally as of 10 minutes ago. You know, UK's finance minister, we call him the chancellor, but, you know, finance minister for our international audience, says, it is my ambition to make the UK a global hub for crypto asset technology. And then Kobe's been tweeting about how there's going to be some sort of government NFT mint type of thing, which is kind of insane. It says Chancellor Rishi Sunak has asked Royal Mint UK to create an NFT to be issued by the summer. Also, since when does it take like 4 months to issue an NFT? These rug pulls can be spun up like overnight. Whoever's like the contractor for this job who convinced them to like pay them for 2-3 months is an absolute genius. But yeah, kind of a weird afternoon with these headlines.
Yeah, so what's the NFT going to be? Like, what are they going to mint?
I have no idea. It's really weird. I don't know if it's like a sale or something. I think it's just like a way to show that we like crypto and we like NFTs. So look, it's like, hello, fellow kids, you know, that meme or whatever.
I really hope it's like cartoon versions of the Queen and like different poses.
You can't do that. That's ridiculous.
Why not?
No, we're very serious about our monarch. How dare you? I'm going to have to travel to Alabama and fight, you know, but that'll make a good show at least.
I would enjoy that, you know, the Queen's NFT where she's, you know, got all her different poses, all her outfits. Like, you can even play into the whole British fashion
farce.
You can
tell what Ledger's into.
That's right. Well, there you go. Y'all are on the cutting edge. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's good to be living in the future.
Don, are you also living on the cutting edge this week?
No. I don't think Jeremy's ever gonna publish any NFTs. I'd be very, very surprised. I mean, is a hard word, but not in the next few years.
Are you vacationing at the moment or not? Status?
I'm actually at home. Very, very surprising, I know, but I needed vacation. I've been too tired.
Wow, you're at home, but there's still all the candles are right next to each other. They're not even moving. So it seems like you failed on that front too.
Yeah,
worst market signal ever.
I'm sorry.
But Miami is coming up, right? The conference.
Oh, yeah.
Bitcoin was the Miami. Last one where like it was like, fuck Elon, the whole Max Kaiser hugging Michael Saylor, and then the market disappeared? Was that the last Miami conference?
That was also the origination of the El Salvador thing and the Jack from the Lightning thing. Whatever his name is, was crying
Jack
on Mollers. Stage.
Yeah, that was an interesting speech presentation thing.
He kind of introduced El Salvador as Bitcoin holders, I guess.
Yeah.
It was not quite a year ago. I think it was in June. Because it was around the same time that we were doing some stuff with my company. So they moved it up a couple of months. So it's been about 10 months since then. Feels like longer. It feels like El Salvador is now just, you know, another Bitcoin community member.
What's the average anyway? Do you know? I forgot. Like somewhere average. Around current price, right?
Oh, their average? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it was 2021 in June. So yeah, I think they're up a little bit actually.
Yeah, I mean, he's been prop trading. He's been prop trading for a year. Probably, I don't know where his average is at.
Yeah, he's probably bought every top since then.
And he probably dabbled in shitcoins, right? Like you have to. There's no way you spend a year trading crypto off your phone or whatever and then you don't dabble in shitcoins. That's insane to me. I don't believe it for a second.
Yeah, I think he bought in the high 30s though, something like that. Because they were down for a little bit when everybody was doom and gloom, right? Into the 20s. But I think they bought somewhere in that cluster that summer. and then looked like geniuses for a little while and probably bought up here, you know.
Like yeah, you do.
As one does. You know, bought the breakout. Just buy the breakout. It's easy. Trading is easy. Look, new high, buy the high. Easy trade, right?
Blink what... and your money's gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Cred's just, you know, screaming swing failure pattern in his brain.
Crypto.
That was such a rough all-time high. Oh my god. Like, I have such weird memories about that all-time high quote unquote break. Because we were expecting, like, you know, Jesus candle to like 70-80k. Yeah. And then it's like 1 week it does nothing. And it's like, okay. Second week it does nothing. And I start talking to people. I'm like, are we just impatient or is this market fucked? It's like, no, we're just impatient. Like, it's fine. It's the all-time high. And I'm like, I actually bought it once and then I puked at a break even. And then it moved up like 2%. And I'm like, oh my God, did I just FUD myself out of buying an all-time high breakout that's going to double? And thankfully it didn't and just disappeared instead. But that was like a really weird period in the market where the script was that new all-time high has always been like a kind of a big deal. But
every time
it was a rough trap. But it gave you plenty of time to get out anyway, right? When it failed below the macro range.
Yeah,
it was
really.
Kind of Duck's big trade where at 58, he was like, this is going for 30. That was a fun tweet thread to follow. The responses were obviously all very agreeable.
I mean,
yeah,
that's many.
They always are, yeah.
What's the time frame on this? Like post whatever the nuke that failed. Yeah, it took 20 days for people to actually then get the next big candle. This is when the bear market really started, though, for Twitter. You know, like Twitter sentiment. Twitter sentiment entered the crypto soup group type of territory during that downswing. But here we are again, same price. now what, you know? Don, do you want to kind of give us a little bit of state of the market? Do you have a screen share that you want to pull up, or do you want me to horribly drive?
I can work again.
You can share a specific tab. Oh, it's the easiest way to do it.
I found it.
And then I'll promote you in. I mean, the way that I look at it is maybe super cycle. If we keep this range going, are we just going to stay in the range, Don?
Yes. I think we're just going to stay in the range. It's going to be boring. Fixing these like black bars is pretty difficult. Gonna have to figure something out for the next time. Either way, high time for moist, nothing's changed, right? Monthly still looks like it has been. It's just the one thing that I want to note is that it looks like it's running out of momentum already, but that's pretty early to say after two candles. But like the bounce candle was big, the next one not so much. We'll see how this one goes. But in general, like on the weekly time frame, we just ran into resistance and that's why we're stopping, right? And doesn't really make much sense to get too bearish on this, given that the rejection hasn't been violent, in my opinion. It's just been like we ran into it, spent an entire week in resistance. It's not necessarily the worst sign. The bad kind of sign starts like showing up on the daily where we had a massive pattern breakout, right? Like this ascending triangle is like how long? Was that a couple of months, 2 months? It broke out and then immediately fell back and retested, which you usually don't want to see in crypto. When you have like the really good breakouts, they don't come back. Like they don't give you the chance to get back in and they squeeze everyone that shorts.
And that was only one day that was any good. Like the next 2 days, even though they're green, got faded. So that's not great.
Yeah. So we're kind of in this weird spot where the weekly still looks fine. It's at resistance still, but it's still fine. The daily kind of looks meh at best. It still makes, like if you're bullish, it still makes sense to be bullish, given that it's really easy to have an invalidation below 44K. Because at that point, if we go back below 44K, this is a failed breakout. We've seen these a million times. You don't want to fade those, right? Last time it happened, market went down by 50%. You don't want to fade that, right? But until that happens, it makes sense to be on the bullish side of things just because, the invalidation is much, much easier for the bulls, right? The bulls just need to hold 44K. And then, I mean, target is easy as well, 52K. So that's like an easy kind of setup. The opposite side of things gets much, much more difficult, right? If you're shorting here, with like a stop above the high, it could easily just go high and then come back down again. So like it's easier to be bullish, I think. The better setup is the bullish one, but it kind of looks like shit, in my opinion. Like I don't want to see these retests. I hate trading them because you know that the market is weak. Otherwise, it wouldn't have done this. It's basically like the entire market. We had the bears by the balls, right? There's nothing they can do. This thing just keeps on going up. They get fucked up. There's no exit. What happened here is basically you shorted the range high. It went up a little bit, didn't even squeeze you hard. This is like just a couple percent. It's like 5 to 6%. Any reasonable bear didn't get any trouble for this. And then it came all the way back to give like a good exit for those and give like a really good bullish entry. I don't like it too much. But yeah, that's kind of my view. So it's in between because for one, the structure still holds, but we really shouldn't have retested it. So yeah, pretty neutral on that front, basically.
It's pretty cool, right? You can basically say that you're justified in being awkwardly bullish. And yes. If it falls below 44K, you're like, ah, never mind. That was a low conviction position in the first place. I like that structurally. I think if someone asked, right, like say you didn't know the price and someone had told you the market has broken out of a multi-month consolidation coming off the most important monthly support on the chart, plus you've had the best performing rally in equities since whatever. And on top of that, you've got spot buying with Saylor and the LFG Foundation, etc. With all those facts, question, how far past the breakout point has the market traveled? And if I would never answer like 4% or whatever it is at the moment, yeah, right? Yep. That's like a very pitiful answer. So that's kind of the sad part, is that you'd expect maybe double-digit performance off the back of that. Maybe we still get it because, April seasonality apparently is pretty decent. And if equities don't shit the bed, that would be nice as well. I know we've had the yield curve inversion type of thing. Mm-hmm. Historically, you can talk. I've read like a bunch of different pieces about whether that's a good recession signal or warning, and smart people think different things. However, one thing that it does remind me of is you kind of get like a oversold. You know how that when you get the 200 moving average doom across, like the death cross, yeah. Usually the market bounces, right? Mm-hmm. Because it ends up, it's like such a slow moving thing that it ends up acting like a sort of oversold signal of sorts. I think you usually get something similar with yield curve inversion as well. But yes, it suggests that the economy is fucked, but equities tend to do like pretty decent returns off the back of that inversion. So maybe we get something similar where we continue to get dragged up by these forces and survive above this 44K type of thing. But, broadly speaking, I agree 44 is a nice invalidation. I think this breakout is kind of weak and it sucks. But as long as it's a breakout, I think you can be decently optimistic. It's just putting those factors together. It's like, oh, and all of that. And how far is the market from the breakout point? 4%. It's like, fuck me. Why is that such a low number? But the thing is, I think also one thing to mention that's important with market structure is ETH is way stronger. So if we're talking about forces that could potentially keep dragging this higher, even if it doesn't want to be dragged higher, maybe ETH chadding is the necessary ingredient for that. Of course, we pay for that down the line with the market disappearing 30, 40%, which is what always happens when ETH drags BTC. But, in the interim, that could be quite a nice little catalyst. That's something Duck and I talked about talking about ETH divergence. He's like, yeah, it can drag Bitcoin higher, just we'll have to pay for it later when the market disappears. Sorry, that was quite rambly, but yeah, TLDR, 44K is still a good level. Kind of disappointed by how much or how little all the fundamental factors have kind of moved price. But as long as the breakout sticks, can't be too pessimistic. And I broadly agree with target stuff as well. Don't know if that was helpful.
It was very helpful. And I'm pulling up one of my favorite indicators in terms of visualizing the yield curve. I don't remember who this is, so apologies. No credit to you. But it's this is a 210 spread, and then when it shows these big red vertical bars is actually when when the yield curve itself inverts. So what I'm going to do actually is put that over equities, as you hinted, Cred, and then sorry for building this live. Get rid of that, and then you can kind of get an idea for what you're looking at there, right? So historically, you would have said, okay, well, let's do this in 2005, right? So they say it's typically 6 to 9 months before a recession, but that scenario is inverted pretty strongly for about 2 years. Over here, it inverted for like a hot second in 1998, didn't really indicate a whole lot and then inverted more strongly in 2000. But, you know, the market didn't really feel it for basically another year. In our current environment, it makes it really difficult to trade, to your point, because it's like, okay, well, it takes 6 to 9 months to matter. So, like, I trade every week. So what am I, you know, like, how am I supposed to use that in a helpful way? So, like, does this mean Bitcoin now cannot go to 50K? No, like, it doesn't mean that at all. It could, you know, all kinds of things can happen in that environment. But I do think that it might be the type of thing where we say, all right, it's time to be a little more cautious in our life, like seek different types of upside. As you've had this, you know, there's the flattening and the steepening, right? So this is a steepening trade here, for example, where the fatness of the separation of the rates is getting wider and wider. And that tends to coincide with, you know, potential upside in the market. And so now it's like a, well, you know, take your wins, enjoy them, and be a little more cautious is basically all I would personally be able to really read from this versus say, sell it all, go away forever, you know?
Yeah, and the time frame analysis on this show is always really cursed because it's like, oh, well, the market's going to do nothing for 4 years and you'll own nothing and you'll enjoy it, you know, etc. The most cursed thing I've seen this morning is Peter Brandt put out a tweet saying, you know, what can stagflation with rising yields and energy prices do to the stock market? From 1965 until 1983, the U.S. stock market, and he's using the Dow Jones as a proxy, went up, down, and nowhere. I believe U.S. equities will follow the script set by this period. So if you thought Duck was being pessimistic and Ledger agreeing with him about 2, 3, 4 years of nothing burger, Peter Brandt out here is like 18 years of the market doing nothing. It's like, dude, I don't remember what happened 2 years ago, let alone 18 years. Like, I can't deal with that.
Yeah. He's fucking mental.
Here's some real cope. Let's use a 3 month chart and go back to 1872.
The good old days.
This is highly valuable information. Don's just waiting for the retest.
Always have. Ever since I've been born, I've been waiting for that.
We're just, look at this clean level back here at 2001, 2008, you know, just dump it, just buy when you get that price.
The breakout isn't confirmed until that's retested. So this is all fake.
That's right. When you take that out of log, it's pretty fun though. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah, wild market.
Dump it.
Someone in the chat actually said he's starting to trade Forex and if we had any advice, and my advice is don't be an idiot. Like, there's a million better markets to trade, and it's like one of the worst ones that you could do. My advice is like legitimately just stop and do something else with your life.
Stop it. Get some help.
Yeah. I'm serious. Like, it's one of the markets where you have the least edge, I think. It doesn't really make much sense.
I mean, there can be trends, but here's your 3 month version of that, right? It's like up and down and flat. Like, it's not much different overall on most of these pairs. And you end up needing leverage to get anything close to the type of volatility that you get in our markets. They're tradable, but you have to really just want to be a trader. Like, I don't really have an attachment to being a trader. Do y'all? I just want to be in something where a number goes up. So most of these currencies, you're having to actively predict nation state behavior and all kinds of other things. It's not very much fun.
Yeah. I mean, you want to have tailwind, right? In any market that you're in. So like in crypto, for example, you expect crypto to go up long-term. So it's easy to be bullish. And that kind of makes the trade in itself much, much easier, right? You'd know which direction you want to be positioned with. Forex, it's very, very different. And there's a lot of stuff that you have to know. And then, like Ledger said, the leverage part, you have to use stupid leverage. And then something happens on the world stage and you and your house and your mom and your family gets liquidated all at once, depending on where you are. Of course, in Europe, you can't go into debt anymore. But I think it's still the case in America. I don't quite know.
You can't go into what anymore?
You can, like, you could lose more than you had back in, like, a couple of years ago. So, people levered up and basically lost more than they had on their account, and then they had like to pay like 10 grand or 100 grand or even more basically back because they lost more than they had. That's very different than crypto.
So, yeah,
when you, I can't believe we've been baited into a Forex detour. It's a waste of time for 99.9%. Like, don't take it seriously. Most of the people making money there are like prime brokers or people on TikTok showing you candlestick box level bounce and then selling you a course. That's literally it.
The reason in crypto why you get liquidated is so that it prevents you from going so negative on your account balance that then you would owe money out of your real life. So, if you want to be thankful for liquidations, I guess, then that would be why. But yeah, the leveraged liquidation all is a nasty place to be. And crypto markets, every traditional participant is basically looking at crypto markets like, oh my God, that volatility is the dream. Why have I not been trading this for longer? Bidirectionally, you know, so if you're just trying to trade a trend, then crypto markets historically been pretty good for that. We've talked about this a lot, dollar strength, might as well LARP on macro just a little bit longer. The trend is basically unchanged there, but, I guess if we're going to get resolution on this crypto at a crossroads type of thing, it would be whether this trend's harder and farther. Basically if the dollar gets the type of strength, to where it exceeds COVID spike levels, and kind of new high territory, that would be pretty concerning in terms of these long-term, trends with crypto. Like we've talked about over and over again, you know, crypto has done well when the dollar has trended significantly down. The Dixie is flagging. So I said no Forex, but then we're using Forex to try to take Bitcoin trades or crypto trades. That's my own personal only acceptable way to trade Forex, honestly. Trade the derivative via crypto. Do y'all think that's stupid or?
No, I agree. I think like, and you're looking at it on a high time frame basis, right? If you were looking at this on the 1 hour, I'd call you an idiot as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like at that point, just like, it's just random mostly, but you can see that this stuff trends, and TA actually works on the higher time frame in Forex somewhat.
I'm scared to ask what higher time frame means for you. I mean, the like weekly, the decade chart.
No, the weekly and the monthly has been fine. Yeah, and yeah. I mean, the daily has been okay as well. It's just, I agree with you there. Like, it's weird that the dollar index kind of looks like oil before it exploded, right? It just kind of engulfed the entire move down. And I don't know what to make of it. It's weird because there's this weird, like, everything is like nothing makes sense anymore, right? You used to have like, okay, dollars weak, crypto goes up, dollars strong, crypto goes down, and you had this with like a bunch of markets, and everything is just out of sync now, and something has to kind of snap back at some point.
Like rally that we've had over the last several weeks where the dollar's been strong and markets have been strong.
Yeah, exactly. It's just everything's out of whack basically right now. And I mean, it makes sense, right? Given the state of the world where no one really knows what's going on. You have supply side issues. You have all supply chain issues. You have everything all at once. You have war. And it's really hard to kind of judge where the world is going. So I guess it makes sense, but it's still a really tough environment to trade.
I mean, I still just look at the oil chart's one of the most fascinating to me, just in general. The negative to infinity meme is so good that it's hard not to think that that's a likely outcome. I also look at a wick like that, and it looks like it took no time on this monthly chart, but you know, we spent several days up there, and then I think that enables kind of this normalization that's an acceptable place to go. And I personally think this kind of era of $100 barrel oil, $100 per barrel oil is just kind of upon us, and that will establish some new untradable range, but higher from here. You know what I mean? Like kind of higher than that $100 territory. And then in the future, we'll look at the $75. That was my like demarcation line basically as kind of a cheap oil, right? $75 is now cheap, over 100 is normal, and all-time high type of prices would be perfectly acceptable. Back in 2008, the today equivalent of that would be kind of in the $200 range. But when this spiked up well above 100, it brought in so many longs that they probably had to get torn to pieces. Just nobody, you know, it's never that easy, right? Somebody was telling me, or I was listening to a podcast where somebody went to the doctor and their doctor was talking about being long oil, which is, you know, classic. If your in-laws are talking about it, if your doctor is talking about it, then it's a terrible trade to be in. So, you know, 25 days with new highs, maybe we see more stress on this market, and that would probably put more stress on a lot of markets. So just kind of more signals that we're probably not going anywhere super duper fast in crypto.
What about the real oil, ETH? You know, that seems to have been,
it
looks better than BTC, and it feels like it's been dragging the market higher, or at least dragging Bitcoin higher. Which has seemingly been a less than willing participant in this. It's interesting how the big money buying narratives have been Bitcoin centered, but a lot of the returns have been ETH driven, or at least the moves have been ETH driven as well. But that's also getting to a point where it's pretty spicy, like what, 36 to 4K? That's pretty big, I think.
I think if it can definitively find its way above this resistance. Problem is, it's kind of exhausted on volume. You could put that's the yield curve again. If you did RSI, you know, you could find a bear div or whatever if you want to do all that kind of stuff. More importantly for me is just that sitting here indecisively at the 200-day moving average and what overall looks kind of like a bearish retest into it. I guess disclosure for myself is I have taken a few trades in the past week, but they were all relative to the system that works for me, which is, you know, seeking breakouts and mean reversion related to high time frame moving averages, the 200-day moving average, the 20-week moving average, the ones that are applicable at the moment. So I had risked off back here. I'd gotten it back in. I risked off again last night, to be honest, just because all of it looks pretty tired to me. And I feel like I'm happy with kind of my chips I was able to take off the table. Like, look, got my little win, and now I want to wait until I get something slightly more definitive, which the counter argument would be, it's a perfectly decent scenario if enough people kind of risk off because they're like, oh, thank goodness I'm break even on the year, you know, like whatever kind of number matters to them. It's a great opportunity to just go some kind of turbo candle straight into, like, to make you FOMO in, you know, you go do that 3,500 to 4K move in like 2 days. That would be the alternate outcome. Wow. My words are not with me here this morning. That's just not where I'm personally thinking. My personal thought is I'll watch these mid time frames, but the high time frames tell me we've had basically no pain, since mid March. So after 3 weeks of up only almost, it wouldn't surprise me if we had some kind of nuke type day, and I'd like to buy that dip. What do y'all think?
I kind of agree with you. I in general, like, for Bitcoin, it's kind of weird that we have the perfect narrative, right, for it to go up and then it didn't. And ETH went up without the perfect narrative, or I mean, it has some sort of narrative and actually broke above resistance as well.
Merge narrative, bro.
Yeah, it's the merge narrative. And I think I like the merge narrative, actually. But I think Bitcoin just looks like it wants to go down, which is probably going to take ETH with it. But then, like, TA-wise, if we retest 3K, that's going to be, like, going to look like an amazing buy. Probably is going to be an amazing buy. So, I mean, that's at least something to look forward to. Like, that's a 10% move to the downside. And then it starts getting interesting again. It's just... it's all reliant on where Bitcoin goes. And given, like I said, that it had the perfect narrative and only got tracked up by ETH, just doesn't make me too excited. We've seen that plenty of times in the past where Bitcoin only goes up because ETH goes up. And that goes well for a while. And then at some point, the entire market just slips away and you're like, holy shit, how did that happen? And usually it happens because people buy ETH and then Bitcoin kind of lags. And people just like, oh, I can buy Bitcoin. It didn't really go up and ETH went up. It has to go up. And then they over leverage into Bitcoin and then they get rinsed. And I kind of feel like we're setting up for that. So
Don, can you go to ETH BTC on a daily time frame? And Cred, is this kind of to your point, I guess? You know, ETH is obviously led in this, but do you think it's the type of thing where that'll continue to be the case, or are you a little worried that this is top of range type of stuff?
I think I'd get worried if there's like another leg, right? Like which would land ETH USD into mega resistance close to 4K. And then you've got like ETH BTC chatting and then BTC being like an unwilling participant in that. That would certainly be more troubling than the current picture. Or at least in terms of just like risk reward or expected value, you know, ETH mega chatting, dragging the market into high time frame resistance. That's almost just the inverse of like buying 30K, right? Whereas like the do or die most important level and everything looks awful. You kind of have to nibble at that. That would be sort of the inverse of that, where it all looks amazing. It's super strong, but it's into the most important level of resistance. You've got to take that equally seriously, right? So I think it would get sort of worrying, or at least you'd feel much more comfortable risk off if there's another leg to it. I don't think it's like a disaster at the moment. In general, I think I really like the argument you made, and you know the technicals bear that out as well. That the brainless, easy money, if you will, mean reversion trade, just like last week, the meat of that move is complete. Like all of these, you know, BTC, ETH, Solana, all of those have basically ripped and retested these boomer moving averages or moving average memes, as I like to call them. They've ended up at like big levels or previous ranges, etc. And so the money lying on the floor is significantly less than it was, you know, a couple of weeks ago when you're getting your, regardless of whether you think it's a top of the range play or an oversold bounce play or just a correlation play with the S&P 500. Like all, I think the meat of that move is done and you're into much trickier areas now. And I really think the S&P 500 like the more I think about it, I think it's nice that the narrative's aligned with Saylor and LFG Foundation buying, etc. But I'm much more open to the idea that it was very much a kind of correlated bounce with everything else, more so than those independent factors. And the fact that, you know, and I think the predictability of that has also gone down a lot. Now the S&P in terms of LARPing S&P TA is into like tricky, if there's going to be a lower high, it's not terribly far from here type of territory. That also kind of takes away some of the tailwind. So the summary of all that rambling is that the easy money reversion trade is done. If you get a big nuke, it makes sense to nibble because it'll probably end up at nice levels. But chasing it higher is, I don't know where, you know, how you take that trade. At least it's not for me.
Yeah, I think the other element of that too is you remember how people would laugh at you like, oh, you're trying to get long Solana in the 80s, or I was even talking about, you know, DeFi mean reversion. Now that you have 50 to 100% moves off some of those, people are like, oh, I guess I should like buy Solana. It's up only again. It's like, well.
Yeah, look at the Solana Weekly, Doc. Have you got that?
The USD pair, I'm guessing.
Yes, please.
It's basically at my mean reversion.
I mean, what more do you want, right? Like, if you get a reclaim of that, you can make a totally reasonable argument from, you know, whatever that is, 130-ish to 170-ish. I'm totally on board with that. But it's already given you from daily time frame into weekly time frame in a straight line. Like, if that's not a mean reversion take profit type of move on its face, then I don't know what is, right? But I think a lot of charts are looking kind of like that, where they bounced from totally reasonable levels and they've now ended up at totally reasonable levels. So the space for finding a similar size swing is pretty tricky, or at least you're asking a lot from the market to then break that and keep going, etc. I mean, if it does, awesome. It'll make the next nuke like a must buy because it'll be into some really nice levels. But for now, you've hit the reversion targets. Just chill out, you know, if you can afford it, obviously.
One caveat of that would be from my personal levels, the 125 was the big one that just kind of back to this, I don't know, realm, but that's why that one also has a lot of padding. The spike into type of level would be 150 flat. So nice. That would be a nice little trap, like get the one, like probably a wick, right? You know, but if it can, if it can flip 150, then sure. Like try to consider, does it really have the potential for upside, whether it's 200 all-time high, whatever. I just highly doubt it. So this trade is much trickier. Like maybe you could do this type of thing, right? Like if it goes back to 125, try to do the 125 to 150, but you're just dealing with way tighter stops and stuff.
Yes.
It's really a much trickier trade, much less simple, et cetera. And then when that is coinciding with all the other trades that had nice mean reversion, it's just kind of a, you can wait now. You can see what's next. Like, not that I didn't buy the bottom of DeFi, but bottom to top, like Aave had 130% move, you know. But even if you said, okay, well, I'm going to wait until it, you know, does something that makes sense to me, still get like an 80% move off of many of those. So for me, it was kind of a, all right, I'm a little worried. For one, DeFi, I don't think anything structurally changed about DeFi. It just was a great mean reversion trade. So now should I calm down, you know, now should I kind of wait for what's next? You know, Comp, just as a follow trade to Aave, had a 50% move, even waiting for those trend breaks. So, you know, combine the layer one retraces, combine DeFi moving, people start getting bullish about them. And now we're sitting at resistance on majors. It just seems so ripe for 5% down on majors, 25% down on all the others. You know,
it's
what
just
I mean?
Far less straightforward than it was, right? It's like the reversion stuff is hit. The targets are like, you're up to your neck or they're just above your head at this point. And your room for error for like what would be a reasonable pullback, in most cases, if you were just to use a rudimentary risk to reward calculation, it's just not very nice, you know?
Yeah. And I want up only markets, but I would rather easy to trade markets, you know? So just, I'm kind of in a wait and see moment, even if, God forbid, I do it from a higher price. You know, just that's okay. I can buy higher. I'm a USD maximalist until further notice. And I mean, that's kind of my strategy for the whole year. This, I went into the year with that strategy, right? Like, and so now it's like, okay, I can have X Bitcoin or X Ethereum, but like, I don't know what the prices of Bitcoin and Ethereum are going to be, and it's not easy to predict at the moment. So.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get easy markets anytime soon, honestly. Like, the easy market that we had was quite long, and I think we're going to get at least the same kind of amount of time where the market isn't easy.
I mean, 18 years, Peter Brandt, you know?
18 years would be too long for me. That's how bad that is. I don't have
same here. Have you seen my profile years. Picture? I don't have another 18 years left in me. I'm already at my wit's end.
Yeah. What's at the Nikkei, the Japanese market, right?
Oh, yes.
It spent 20 years or something without a new high.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically, I've read an article saying that they basically just, they're us in the future, basically. Like, they're just a few years ahead of us. And that's just coming to all of us. So I mean, maybe
they did finally get a breakout in October 2020, so maybe just go to Japan. Play the Japanese markets. I don't know. I feel like it's a really boring way to do a show, saying like preaching caution, you know. We should be talking about something you can ape. Are there NFTs that are people Pudgy Penguins are mooning?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some NFT stuff going on. It's pretty, you know, that part is alive and well. I don't know if it's like secular or decoupled from the rest of crypto. Obviously, they're still sensitive enough to ETH prices and whatnot and volatility in general. But, you know, volume wise and everything else, I mean, you're the flip metrics master. There's plenty of punting going on.
Yeah, I'm excited to be able to just show you Flip instead of OpenSea in the future. But for now, stick with OpenSea. But yeah, Azuki's breached the whatever, the 10 ETH floor and went to 30.
Yeah.
And they dropped beans, whatever those are. And they're worth 5 to 6 ETH a piece, and they got 2 per Azuki. So kind of your relative peak on that floor of Azuki's was closer to 40 ETH, which is awesome. And then
it's awesome if you didn't sell 12.
I did. Who could have done that, right?
I bought at around 13. So
I bought
your bags.
When you see counterparty,
I made good money on it, but it's like, oof, seeing that is fucking painful, is what it is, though.
Yeah.
What was this Ledger? Were you tuned into the drama that was? I think it was with friends or fiends or something with Farokh.eth. Uh-huh. And there was a whole thing. What was that? Because I'm totally not clued up. Was it like an expensive mint that barely sold out? And there was a bunch of blue check marks and the usual recipes for controversy. Do you know anything about it?
I do. I was just didn't want the autocomplete to reveal anything untoward within the OpenSea search. okay. Don't need it to see my m'lady searches, you know. So the Frenzies collection was a Dutch auction where the Dutch auction started at like 4 ETH or something that was very grifter type prices, like higher than MeBit prices. And so there was a lot of criticism. And at the same time, the people, I don't really even know who's behind it, but I do know Farouk and a bunch of other people were promoting it, right? So a bunch of people minted it, or a bunch, enough people minted it where then now they're down. They went down 95% immediately from the Dutch auction.
Lesson one, market cycles, you know, you get some education along with NFT just on a very accelerated timeline.
Yeah. So if you bought Frenzies number one at 4 ETH and then the floor went to 0.2, all pre-reveal, right? Then you're not very happy. So the Dutch auction kind of worked its way through. Eventually it sold out when it got cheap enough. I actually went and bought quite a few of these somewhere in the 0.2s, like between 0.2 and 0.3, because people were so mad. And I was like, these are down 95% from the initial Dutch auction price. So now it seems reasonable. I don't know anything about them, but the floor is back to 0.4 now. And it just strikes me as one of those things, probably going to end up over an ETH again at some point, right? So there was a lot of drama because of the way the Dutch auction functioned. At the same time, the people that were supporting it said, well, that's how Dutch auctions are supposed to function. But that's a little disingenuous in my mind, because when you set the Dutch auction, you're setting the boundaries of it, right? You're saying, well, let's start it at 4 ETH because that's a reasonable price. So they could have started the Dutch auction, say, from sub 1 ETH somewhere, you know, like maybe 0.4, and it worked its way to 0.1. Like, that is a much more reasonable range than 4 to 0.2 or whatever the, the floor went to. So, you're not a happy community member if you're down 95% before anything happens whatsoever. So they bungled that a little bit. Whether it's a bungled collection overall, I don't know. I just, like, once there's that much drama, I'm interested, you know?
Yeah, at least got some headlines, I guess. It's super fucking ugly, though. But then again, if the history of us...
Yeah, and come me on, saying, man. Like, I gotta say, NFT is ugly. I won't buy it. Like, the ugly ones go the most.
Yeah. I mean, the bunnies, I cannot say anything is ugly anymore ever since the bunnies. We've won that argument.
How dare you? Yeah, so now we're also some other fun stuff, and I do own a couple of these, so, you know, whatever. But now there's like the Azuki clones out there. So I put this in kind of lazy lion territory, right? Like
hell.
It's like bored apes to like some, you know, then the llamas and the lions and God knows what else came out. You know, stuff like this went from, I don't know, 0.1 to 1.5, back to 1. Maybe they'll work. Maybe they'll go to 0. But, you know, I like that. You see money roll from airdrops, like the beans airdrop, 10 ETH per Azuki, that started to roll into doodles and started to, like, you get that kind of cascade of the market that's very similar to the way altcoins work. And you're definitely seeing it to some degree in this landscape, too.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the NFT kind of story was I bought a bunch. It went up a shitload. It went down a bit. And I was like, oh, fuck, I want to sell this stuff. And then I tried to get out. And the thing is, like, the lesson that I've learned when I was trying to sell a lot of NFTs all at once is that the stuff that actually sold that I didn't have to fight for liquidity for, right? Like, the stuff where I was actually, like, I was setting a decent price and I got lifted out. That's the stuff that actually went up, and everything else, I mean, it's kind of like NFTs are up again, but a lot of the stuff that I held is actually down a shitload still.
But it will come back because it's a good project.
Yeah, I guess.
So the one other, yeah. So there were buyers, right? That there were people that were believers of whatever you were willing to sell, and the stuff you couldn't sell, there was nobody there.
Yeah, exactly. And that stuff, you're kind of just screwed on. And so it's like the further out you go, the further obscure you get, the harder it is to find liquidity. It's kind of like goes back to the argument of, okay, the stuff that is actually popular might actually still be a better trade at like 10 ETH than the stuff that is trading at 0.5. And the multiples might actually be bigger on the more expensive stuff. And you can actually sell it still at some point. And that's been true for pretty much everything I've held so far.
So Corgi made a note about the Dutch auctions, saying Dutch auctions supposed to refund the people who paid more. Paying more only reserves your spot, and then the cheapest one's supposed to be the price for everyone. But that's not how some of these NFT Dutch auctions work. I believe they are more of a, you know, you kind of pay wherever you land in line type of thing. But anyway, one other news in the NFT landscape that we can't ignore, for Alex Weiss's sake, if nothing else, would be that Pudgy Penguins finally got a new owner. So Cole is out, the guy that was in charge, and you know, theoretically, with some of the drama out as well, these held kind of one ETH floor or so throughout all that, because the community, I guess, was pretty strong, or people just didn't bother selling them. Pudgy Penguins never really made the same push as Doodles and Azuki's and a lot of the other things that kind of made that run into about 10 ETH floor. With the news of that new backer, some drop shipper or something bought it. I don't really know. Either way, somebody new is all that really mattered. A bunch of people swept these up and pushed them to so far about a 3 ETH floor. What I'm curious of is, can something that crypto Twitter likes actually do well? Because for the most part, that hasn't worked in the past. I mean, 3 ETH, nothing bad. But can this like make the push like a Cool Cats did, or you know, like a or like Doodles did? I think there is a fairly strong, you know, ecosystem around Pudgy. So I think it'd be kind of a fun win for the internet if Pudgy Penguins could make that push to 8 or 10 ETH. I doubt they'd get over that, but that would be fun. And Weiss could sell whatever Pudgies he has left, because he bought like 200 of them or something.
I mean, he pretty much sold, I think, at like floor prices, OTC,
yeah,
from somebody, what I've been told.
He responded to a tweet because somebody had, I said I was rooting for Weiss on Twitter, and somebody responded that he had sold him OTC at the Pico bottom, and Kobe got involved, and he said that he and Weiss himself responded, and he said he still has a good chunk, whatever that means. So I don't know if that's like 4 of 200 or 40 or 100.
He probably still has more than 2 digits of it. Yeah.
Yeah, so
I just love seamlessly moving from like dollar strength, yield curve inversion, predictive power, new paradigm, oil prices, and then you blink and it's like, yeah, the Pudgies do have something compelling going on. It's like, oh my
God. Look, we're no different than the UK government, Cred. It's the same thing.
Yes, it's true. This is the statist position.
Yeah, that's right. They're just minting NFTs too. But yeah, there we go. That's the show. I don't have anything else to y'all.
No, nothing too compelling. I want to see the market really just get out of this range. You know, it's a big breakout on majors. It should be doing a lot more. Obviously, traditional markets this week are going to be important, because if there's going to be any type of lower high and continuation to the downside stuff aligning, it won't be terribly far from where the market is now, right? Because I think we crept up to like 3 or 4% off the highs in the S&P. And if you're going to be making any sort of lower high argument or whatever else, or even just pullback case, it's going to happen like not terribly far from this type of area, be it based on weekly levels, or maybe this is the overthrow from the moving average, maybe a push up early in the week, something like that, right? But in general, a bunch of stuff hit its mean reversion target. That's when you kind of chill out and wait to see if fresh momentum enters the market to take it past those reversion targets and you go from reversion to trend, or whether it's Peter Brandt 18-year chop redemption arc. I think if the monthly level that I think Don had and we all had, like 47-ish or whatever the breakdown took place on BTC, if that gets reclaimed, that there's probably a decent move towards his ultimate target of 52 or whatever thereabouts. You know, any higher high should be decently constructive, which is a posh way of saying if it goes up, it'll go up more, which is really clever. But yeah, TLDR, reversion targets hit, chill out. If there'll be fresh momentum to take us from reversion to trend, it'll be obvious. If not, well, then You'll know because the market will be below 44K and it will all feel really bad. Watch out for ETH redemption arc dragging the market higher. If it does, I wouldn't fade it. Just make sure to eventually take profit, because usually the price to pay for ETH outperformance to the point of dragging Bitcoin is like minus 30 to 50% in majors. So bear that in mind. That's kind of all I've got and what's on my radar.
I mean, that's basically the exact same thing.
Oh, and God save the queen for her NFTs.
That's right. God save the queen.
You don't want to go to jail for not saying it, huh? Something that we didn't talk about is waves. I don't know if you have any opinion.
We talked about pudgies, the more important stuff as traders, right?
Because waves are actually like the waves Ponzi, allegedly. I don't want to go to jail for calling it Ponzi. But I mean, it's been going down a little bit. It's down, like waves is down like 37%. I remember Cred and I talking about this on Friday, and I was like, this is just going to be down 50% in 3 days. And you're going to be like, what the fuck? And now it's down 40%, so a little bit more to go. But what is happening, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but the waves stable coin is down quite a bit. It's called USD, USDN. Oh shit, I actually nailed it on the first try.
Nice,
you got it. So when you have like a stable coin that looks like this, actually gets quite scary quite fast. And I cannot recommend to buy the dip on this, but I could be completely wrong. But this like legitimately just smells like a Ponzi to me.
Yeah, I heard there was some kind of folding mechanism that they were able to do. But anyway, it's all speculative. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to play this. I'll let Alabama Research do that one.
Yeah, I mean, just accusing Alameda of some sort of market manipulation when they're just arbing the funding rate is like such a silly, outrageous minus EV thing to do. Like, why would you ever make that argument? It's so spurious. And then going for this like GME-esque, we are against the hedge funds, short squeeze type of narrative, and your coin gets fucking obliterated. I mean, good riddance, Jesus Christ. The whole pump from the outset was like a Russia-Ukraine war proxy trade, nonsensical, non-sequitur garbage idea. The fact that it pumped in the first place, so whatever. This has become a comedy of errors.
Yeah, and one thing that I want to say is whenever you see like a founder tweet about like shorts or whatever, like to kill the shorts, like, just fucking run. Like, that's just like the worst sign ever.
Hey guys, can you stop trading?
Yeah, it's like you don't want to see that. Like, founders, and this is why I say it so often, like, there's rare exceptions, but like, when founders talk about price, it's usually a really, really bad sign. And this is exactly why. Like, most of the time, there's some shit going on behind the scenes that you don't want to. Yeah, that just should not be the case. And then you kind of get fucked like this. So
yeah,
that's the lesson in this one, I guess.
Like when Kobe said, don't be the main character, right? Because they always get killed.
So the only thing I'm looking for, in addition to what y'all said, would be an opportunity if there's a really quick dip to buy whatever kind of retest E zone that is. So if we get some kind of minus 10%, day that then gets a potential for a quick response off of it, then I would be interested in that. Otherwise, some kind of consolidation to seek that next leg higher, but nothing crazy. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We really appreciate it. We are happy to talk to you. Happy for you to be here with us. Go to weeklyopen.com. Check this replay and other shows as well. Go to weeklyopen.com/FTX. Subscribe and like on YouTube, all that good stuff. When you're on FTX, trade from one asset to the other super simply. Right there, weeklyopen.com/FTX. Also track the portfolio. You can DCA in from your bank. Like I said, don't know if you DCA out. Maybe a feature request. Ask them. weeklyopen.com/FTX. Talk to you later. Thanks so much. Bye.